strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Appreciate you spending time with the show. This final hour of the show, we got a lot to talk about, starting with the budget here in the state of Arizona. It's such a boring topic for so many people, but it is so important to the continued success of the state of Arizona. You know, the fiscal year for Arizona ends at the end of this month, which means they basically have just a week until we are going to be in big trouble. The Speaker of the House is threatening to pass a bare bones budget if something doesn't get done. But there's been a sticking point. The governor wanted a major tax cut of $1.9 billion, and that was to try to make up for Prop 208. Now, we can agree to disagree on this, but Prop 208's a disaster waiting to happen for Arizona. I am someone, Prop 208 was about education funding. It was a tax on the wealthiest in Arizona, and of course, who doesn't like taxing rich people? But it was supposed to be a tax on the wealthiest people in Arizona, and it would effectively raise their taxes by 70% to 80%. And it's still in the state Supreme Court, but they've lost a bunch of the fights on this already, so we'll see what happens. So in order to offset some of that, they wanted to restructure the taxes in Arizona with some basic tax brackets so that the wealthier people in Arizona paid a lower rate and basis in state taxes to make up for what they're going to have to pay in Prop 208 money. So the teachers hate this, and I don't mean every teacher. I mean the teachers' organizations. Getting down that road is going to take me too much down a rabbit trail. But the teachers' organizations in Arizona want to unionize. So what they are doing is getting in bed with the major teachers' unions like the AFT, American Federation of Teachers, and they're trying to get a union started in Arizona. Now, there are other ways to do this. And I think there are more practical ways. This governor, whether they like it or not, and they don't like this governor because he's got an R next to his name. But this governor has been the champion for and gotten passed through the legislature the biggest raise for teachers in a very, very long time. And given no credit for it, by the way, none whatsoever by the teachers' organizations because they don't like a Republican governor, period. End of story. And nothing I just said is not factual. That's not an opinion. That's the truth. That he got pushed through the legislature, working with legislators on the biggest pay increase for teachers in a very long time, and was given no credit for it by the teacher organizations. So they have every right to unionize if they want to, and God bless them. Let them fight for a union if they want to, and people that are anti-union because this is a right-to-work state will fight back. That's a fight that can and should be argued, but not at the expense of education in general. Prop 208 is going to be disastrous for small businesses, and the knock against Prop 208 was this. There are so many small businesses that fall under this. Now, what's funny is they're not going after major corporations. So the big C-Corps, the big major corporations in Arizona, see absolutely no increase in their income taxes. But individuals that make more than $250,000 a year or $500,000 as a couple that file jointly, they will be. And same with small businesses that are called pass-throughs, the LLCs of the world. If you're doing that kind of revenue, you are going to pay this tax. So when this first happened, the people in the teacher organizations knew that it was a sore spot. So they downplayed the severity of this, saying it's not true. There's not a lot of businesses that are going to pay for this. It's not a big deal. And as soon as this fix went into place, now they're saying it's going to cost billions of dollars in education. Well, which is it? Is it costing billions of dollars to the small businesses, or is killing it costing billions of dollars in education? Because you can't have it both ways. So this budget needs to be passed. So they've made some concessions because the tax cuts were based on, the numbers were based on rosy projections for economic growth. So what they've done is reduce the size of the tax cuts, and they are only triggered when certain economic thresholds are met. So what it does is it protects the coffers in the state of Arizona. Again, with a compromise. This was a compromise. And they're voting on this today. They may have already voted. I'm not sure. But we haven't gotten word on what the vote was yet. A couple of the other things that were negotiated in all of this, which I found to be very interesting. When you look at what the teachers were against, the votes have been clear in their support for investing in public education by passing Prop 208, according to the teacher organizations. But the changes include a much larger pay down of the state debt, smaller tax cuts than $1.9 billion a year, and initially planned until and will not happen until actual revenue comes in. So with those concessions, they now are probably going to pass this budget. The teachers' organizations hate it, and you know they're going to run on this whole issue of funding education. And I must tell you, I also am someone who believes in funding education. But if funding were the only issue with education, that would be something to talk about. What happens here is there is a will not budge attitude from the teachers' unions. Tomorrow on the show, I'm going to be talking about something that is going to make people very angry. I'm trying to get more information on this. And I don't want to give out names, but in one of the major school districts here in the Valley, again, the districts have autonomy. Once they get their budgets, once they get their money in their budgets, they have autonomy in what they do with it. There is no control. We're hearing that at least in one district, there are teachers that worked summer school that aren't being paid for summer school. And I'm going to get to the bottom of this and give you the details tomorrow on the show. So the teacher organizations out there who are supported largely by some of these very districts now aren't paying the teachers. The money was put in for raises. That didn't mean the teachers got all of the raises. They appropriate the funds any way they want to. There are a lot of things that need to be done to fix education in Arizona to make it the best that it can be. And it's not just funding. But there is no give in any of these people when talking about funding. And that's all that matters to them is funding, funding, funding. If that were the answer, I don't know of a Republican that would say no to a tax increase if it was truly going to be the answer to fixing the problem in education. But we all know that it isn't. We all know that there's more to it than that. And so this budget needs to get passed, and we need to get moving, and we do need to improve education in Arizona. But just like people want comprehensive immigration reform, we need comprehensive education reform in Arizona. What's in the curriculum? What's prioritized and being taught to children? How these districts have autonomy? Why we have so many districts? There's a lot of questions. Coming up in a moment, we get you caught up on the biggest news stories of the day. We do it every day at 11:20. We call it Did You Hear This? It happens in just one moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
So much to talk about. Let's get to it quickly. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
The Phoenix Suns won Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals without their star point guard, Chris Paul. But will he be back tonight?
Chris Paul is listed as out on the Suns injury report for Game 2, per our Kellen Olsen. Chris Paul, due to health and safety protocols, is listed as out for Game 2 for the Phoenix Suns.
But he's vaccinated, mm-hmm. Asymptomatic.
Uh-huh.
It's been a week. Should the NBA just let him play?
Yeah, I don't understand any of it. Again, we don't have a whole lot of information because of HIPAA laws and the Phoenix Suns being pretty tight-lipped about this. But has he tested positive? They're supposed to test every day. Is he still testing positive? Has he had any negative tests? We do know the good news is he's asymptomatic, which is great for his overall health in general. But there's so many unanswered questions with this. I wish we knew more. We just keep hearing he's out. Yeah, the Suns are going to need him back. But more than anything else, we just would like to get some answers and wish for the best. I hope the Suns pull it off tonight, maintain home court advantage, because it's going to be rough going into L.A. That is a good basketball team for the Clippers. So it's going to be a nail biter, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Senator Kyrsten Sinema met with President Biden yesterday to discuss infrastructure. She's facing a lot of heat right now because she doesn't agree with her party, the Democrats, who want to get rid of the Senate's 60-vote threshold to pass legislation. Political analyst Emily Ryan breaks down Sinema's situation.
I would expect that Senator Sinema was kind but firm, and I'm sure Biden got a taste of what he's dealing with. She's not going to roll over just because she's getting pressure from the president, yet I'm sure she enjoys the audience with the president and being in that pivotal power role. She was built for that.
How do you think Sinema is handling all of this?
You know, I think that she's standing her ground. I've got to give her some credit. I did not believe she was going to be independent when she ran on that platform of independent, just like Arizona. But she has shown a great deal of independence in voting. And I think that that is why she's been pretty popular with the overall voter base in Arizona. But it's also why she is very unpopular with the base in the Democratic Party. I think she's handling it the right way. She's very calculated anyway. And I think that this, for her, she was expecting this fight to happen. And I think she's handling it as well as she possibly can. You're listening to Did You Hear This? It's the biggest newsmakers of the day, all wrapped up in one segment of the show. What's next, Steve?
The Olympics are about to see a new first, but a lot of people aren't happy about it.
New Zealand weightlifter will be the first transgender athlete to compete in the Olympics. Laurel Hubbard will compete in the super heavyweight 87-kilogram category, but the decision is already sparking pushback, with critics saying it's unfair to other female athletes. The New Zealand government, however, is standing behind Hubbard.
How do you feel about a transgender female competing in Tokyo?
The issue I have with this is about fairness, and it's always been about fairness. You know, Caitlyn Jenner, who was a gold medal Olympian in the 70s, has said, and is now Caitlyn Jenner, was Bruce Jenner, said it's unfair. It's unfair for people, especially if you're still anatomically male, but when you are just genetically, you were a male before. And that's where the whole woke culture won't let you talk about these things. That as soon as you say we're genetically a male, then you're a nightmare because they were never a male. They identified as a woman. Well, that may sound great in your mind and in conversations, but in practical purposes, like being an athlete, this person would have never, ever, ever, ever qualified as a weightlifter in the Olympics as a male and shouldn't be able to take spots for women that have been working their entire lives. And this is where the woke culture collides, and they need to figure out something here overall. I'm just waiting to see how she's going to be received at the games, if the fans are going to give her credit for how well she's going to do, or if they're going to hold her accountable for having been a male before. I'm going to be anxious to see how it's handled.
Remember, President Biden set that goal of getting 70% of all Americans vaccinated by the 4th of July. But vaccination rates are slowing down here in Arizona and in other states. But the president of the Philippines has an idea for how to get people vaccinated. He said this through an interpreter.
You choose. Get vaccinated or I'll have you jailed. I'm telling you. Those police cells are filthy and foul-smelling. That's where you'll be. But if you refuse, I will have you arrested.
Get vaxxed or go to jail. Your thoughts?
That's what our mayor wanted to do. I mean, well, you know, that's what Kate Gallego wanted to do, didn't she? So I'm joking, Mayor Kate. It was a joke, almost. But the Philippines are different, obviously different than the U.S., If they're going to jail citizens that don't get vaccinated, that shows you why. God bless America. We have freedom of choice here. You may think someone should. You may promote it and push people to. But the idea of forcing someone is a nightmare in the U.S. And it's why the Philippines are the Philippines and we are the U.S. Outrageous is what it is. It's absolutely outrageous. You know, there's a lot of things that people should do. If you think about it, you should do something, but you don't jail somebody for not doing it.
Well, they have a choice. It's just one of the options is jail.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We're not taking away your freedom of choice. You don't have to get the vaccine. You're just going to. And how long do they put them in jail for?
I don't know. But I love that he threw in that little nugget of, hey, our jails are a mess.
They are.
And the cops don't clean them up very good.
Yeah.
Just fair warning.
Yeah. And how long do they jail them? That's the other question. How long do you get put away for?
I don't know. I'll find out.
Until the pandemic's over, Is it an indefinite jailing? That's just absolutely foolish. Coming up in a moment, we're going to talk about the audit that most people in America do not trust Arizona's audit. And before we get out of here, an update on teachers writing curriculum in a school district that say they haven't been paid for 11 days work that they were not paid for, and they don't know when they're going to get paid. All that's coming up here in just a few moments. Stick around.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Working on a story that I want to talk about before the show is over. Teachers not getting paid. And in the Phoenix Union High School District, the teachers have been working for days, then not getting paid for it. I'll tell you when they were supposed to be paid, when the promise came for the second time that they failed to meet, and then when they're now promising in the future they may get paid. Imagine this. Somebody working and payday comes and somehow you get away with not paying them. The school district's ignoring them. As we're going to get to this, I want to talk to about this in a couple of moments. So if you live in Phoenix and you want to hear where your tax dollars are not going where they should, you will before it's over here on the show. I want to talk about the audit. I thought it would be funny, but it's not. I think it's too self-serving to do it. But I was going to come on and read some of the messages I got from people regarding the audit, because I have made some people, you know, the real patriots out there, I've made them angry because I dare disagree with them on an issue. Spend my whole life as an adult known as a staunch Republican until I disagree on an issue, and then throw me out of the party. I'm not a real conservative. I'm all these other things. I just had a guy on Instagram. I'm 54 years old and I'm arguing with somebody on social media. It just shows you what people turn into. And I will lay out my case of why I disagree with the audit and why most of the country agrees with me. Now, polling is not the only thing out there that ever matters. But when you're talking about an election year that's coming up with six major statewide races up for grabs, not to mention how close our legislature is to being Democrat controlled, as a Republican, you should be laser focused on the job at hand. And they aren't. And if nothing else, this audit is going to continue. This audit will continue. And the count is supposed to be done by the end of the month, or has been done. But by the end of the month, they say they will be done with their forensics on the paper and everything else. And then they're going to have, by Labor Day, they say they're going to have the report. And so that will go to the Senate. Who's going to believe it? The vast majority of people in this country believe that this is a partisan attempt to overturn an election, which is exactly what they said they didn't want to happen. They wanted this to be an unbiased audit. So let's talk about the bias to begin with. You've hired a company called the Cyber Ninjas. The head of this company, it turns out to be that apparently the only person that works there, because when you dial their phone numbers, every single one of the, whether it's purchasing or it's sales or it's whatever, every voicemail goes back to the same guy. The legal team, the address for the legal team for Cyber Ninjas is a P.O. box in Sarasota, Florida. It doesn't sound like a major corporation. But the head of Cyber Ninjas on social media has been calling this election stolen since the election. So if you're looking for an unbiased audit, you hired the wrong guy to give that appearance. You look at the people that are given access to see the audit up close. Now, when the media goes down there, including reporters from this station, they are stuck up somewhere way up away from the floor of the audit. But who's been given access? Well, the guy that's funding all of this has a documentary he's doing, or his company is doing, that is already believes that the election was stolen. And so they've let him in to not only film what's going on, but to interview key players in this audit. Well, if you have already got a predisposed idea that the election was stolen and you're helping to fund the audit, what do you think is going to happen? There is a difference between, and for all of the Trump voters out there, I was one myself. I voted for President Trump twice. Big supporter of the policies and a lot of the accomplishments and took a lot of heat for it, but I don't care. But what's happening now is destroying that legacy. Because for all the Trump voters out there, I want you to pay close attention to this. There is a difference between accurate information and an investigation and opposition research. If you remember the dossier that was the foundation of the Mueller report and all of those investigations, what was one of the number one criticisms of that? Well, it was opposition research that was funded by the Hillary Clinton campaign. Now, later on, it was used as evidence, which turned out to not be true. The people politically on the left said, it doesn't matter who did the study. It doesn't matter who did it. If the information is true, you should believe it. So they believed it because it was all negative and some of it vile against the former president. So now you want people to believe that there's independence when you've hired a guy to do it that said the election was stolen with money to fund it from a guy that's doing a documentary saying the election was stolen. And you want the American public to believe that this is an unbiased look. And you can't do that. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I am being more than fair and more than honest. I'm taking heat from everybody because I continue to say and will continue to say, I think the Senate President Karen Fann is an honest woman. I do not think she's dishonest. I disagree with the direction this audit has gone. Ken Bennett, I've known him for a long time, not very well, but I've known him. Again, I don't think he has a dishonest bone in his body. I think Ken Bennett genuinely wants honest answers. Randy Pullen is someone I respect. He's the media person now for the audit. I respect Mr. Pullen. He sent me a text message yesterday about something not to do with the audit. I will say to you that there's a lot of, and I have close friends, people I consider friends, that are down there as part of the count of the ballots. People, again, that I know are honest, that would never do a dishonest thing, that are down there. But the perception of this from the outside looking in, if anybody is being honest, was this was bought and paid for by someone that said the election was stolen. It's being run by someone who said the election is stolen. And the only people they're letting anywhere near the audit are people that say the election is stolen. And then when they leave there, say, oh my gosh, this is the best thing that's ever happened. If you disagree, you're relegated to the press box. Or if you ask questions that they don't want to answer, you're up in the press box. That's my problem with this audit. And the poll numbers, and this is something they should pay attention to for the election year, the poll numbers agree with me. Absolutely agree with me. Coming up in a moment, we are going to talk about teachers getting paid, or in this case, not getting paid. Is this even legal? Wait till I tell you the story coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much. Got a few minutes left. I'm going to go into more detail about this tomorrow as I get more details on this. But as you know, I'm connected to a lot of teachers and hear from them pretty often about the things that were happening about pay scale and everything else. There are curriculum teams that work on, obviously, on curriculum during the summer months, so summer school, and they're supposed to get paid. Now, they were originally supposed to be paid for the work they did on June 6th. I want you to think about this. It's June 22nd. They were originally supposed to be paid for these 11 days, and it's not just a few teachers. This is over a dozen teachers in the Phoenix Union High School District. They weren't paid on June 6th. So anybody out there, myself included, I'm weird about my paycheck. I've earned it. I want it when I'm supposed to have it. And there shouldn't be any excuses. I do my job. You pay me. Period. And if you know the laws, you have to get paid. They have to pay you. And employers must pay their employees first. And you can get in big trouble. There is legal ramifications if you don't. And in this case, these teachers were supposed to be paid on June 6th. They weren't. And then I've got emails in front of me of sending the district office emails asking very nicely when they were going to get paid. They were then told they would be paid today. And again, 3 weeks later, or almost 3 weeks later, haven't been paid. Now they're being told July 6th they're going to be paid. So where are the teacher organizations out there? You know, the ones that are always talking about how teachers deserve more. In this case, the Phoenix Union High School District is going to go over a month and not pay teachers that did the work. And they're not answering emails. They're getting voicemail. They're leaving voicemail messages that are not being returned. So I don't know why anybody else isn't on this. I don't know why the TV stations aren't on this yet. But all of us would say, I think most of us would say, it doesn't matter what profession you're in, what job you have. If you do the work, you deserve to be paid. And you deserve to be paid on payday. On payday. So it's unfortunate because I'm sure these teachers have bills. We keep hearing, and I believe, teachers don't make enough money. You know, they're not paid a whole lot of money. So it's not like they're going to have a ton of savings and they can just live off of that until whatever the district is doing. And I don't know, and they don't know what the holdup is. They're not being told anything. They're getting the silent treatment. They're being stonewalled. So if you live in Phoenix like I do, might be a phone call you want to make. You know, again, districts have autonomy. Once money is allocated to the district from the state level and, you know, from the local level, when they get their funds, the district can allocate that money any way they want to. They can spend it anywhere they want to. And that's part of the issue is there's not much oversight. And a lot of people don't understand when they elect school boards, when they do those things, it's not an election that's big and sexy like going to D.C. as a congressman or a senator. But I would say it is one of the most important positions that we have that's elected is to be on a school board, curriculum and otherwise. When you have teams of people that are working in the summer months and they're scheduled to be paid, you have to pay them. I was an employer. And trust me, when you've got people on the payroll, it is scary to think I've got to come up with this money every week. I have got to pay these people every week. And making payroll keeps some employers up nights until your company is on its feet. But when you work in a government job, like a teacher, that's one of the trade-offs in working in a government job, is that you sacrifice some things for security. Well, it doesn't sound like it's very secure. And no one's giving answers because the right people aren't asking the questions. So the Phoenix Union High School District, and I've got the emails in front of me, are not paying these teachers that work during the summer months. I'm not talking about all summer school. I'm talking about curriculum planners. I don't know about summer school teachers. They're not paying them like they were supposed to, and they're not answering anybody that's asking why they haven't been paid. They're going to get paid a month after payday. Anybody think it's fair? I certainly don't. And we're going to have more details on this tomorrow on the show. We'll give you more on this as I get more details coming in. If you're a social media user, I love to keep in touch. On Twitter, I am at Broomhead KTAR. At Broomhead Show updates you on the show, but at Broomhead KTAR is me. I'm Mike Broomhead, all one word, on Instagram. Love to keep in touch with you. I'm back tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Have a great day, everyone. God bless.